Welcome to the Business and Leadership Channel. My name is Michelle Boulay, and I'm so honored to be a sponsor here at this amazing conference because it's my passion to help you connect to your own inner leader and let that transform the businesses and relationships you create. I'm a life coach and healer and an internationally recognized award-winning dance artist. And dancing taught me to listen to my own inner voice and let that guide me to my success. A very common thing that happens for business owners, creatives, and leaders is that you're so close to your next goal or breakthrough and then you stop. Doubt kicks in, worry, procrastination, fear, overwhelm, which kill growth in your business and creative process. So I'm giving a talk here on Saturday, October 24th, where you'll learn tools so that you can show up with clarity and belief in yourself and your ideas, consistency to keep showing up, and the embodied and intellectual understanding to move you gracefully through the challenges you'll meet as you grow, as you go for your goals. If you can't make it live, pick up your phone now, go to Instagram or Facebook, find me, follow me, and DM me the word success, and I'll send you the free resource I'll be sharing at my presentation. It's also in the show notes. However, I do recommend you attend live here or at my main stage presentation to get the full scope of what I'll be sharing to help you realize your creative dreams. And now, please enjoy this next presentation.
Well, again, welcome everyone. And today I have the pleasure to receive again the brothers Coren, so Thorold and Isaac. Definitely. So Thorold and Isaac Coren are on mission to hear the world's song, one big voice at a time. With over 20 years of experience recording, teaching, empowering others through transformational leadership and touring the world as the Kin and then the Brothers Coren, their work continues to grow and expand the space for creative expression, leading people towards a more embodied life experience. Over the course of their musical careers as the Kin and the Brothers Coren, they are grateful to have experienced performing live on Conan, earning a gold record and performing over a million people while touring with Coldplay, Pink, Rod Stewart, and Bon Jovi. Now their mission has shifted to one that seeks to include many voices as they listen and study the transformative effect of music on human well-being. Welcome.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
So great to be here with you.
Mm. Thank you.
And so, with you all here from many places.
So many places.
Yeah.
England, Missouri, Canada, Sweden.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes.
You're welcome. So would you like to explain us a little bit? I know some people have done some research in Spain. Sorry, China, from
Spain. Spain and Ohio.
So I know people have done some research, you know, during the conference, and now they hear live with you. Can you tell us maybe a little bit more about what is your big voice, just starting from there? What is your
voice? Yes, of course. Yes, of course. Well, to us, your big voice really is unpacking three foundational pillars of what makes us uniquely us. And the distinction is built into this whole body instrument you've been gifted, the story that you've lived and the story in front of you, the one you're part of co-creating. And last but not least, how you're uniquely struck by music, which we call musical cosmology. So we're going to unpack your big voice, but we stumbled across what we do today when we wanted to go deeper into helping others in the music industry get closer to the songs they always wish they could have written. And we also wanted to help, you know, young or first-time voices get to, you know, a clearer, more embodied approach to singing their songs and kind of getting past looking good or sounding good and getting into, you know, real experiences that audience really want. So when we approached this subject, we realized it wasn't common to go deep with an artist, which is kind of such a funny thing to say because music was based on going deep and developing someone.
Yeah. But what we found in the process was that our big voice is something we've been using to get what we want. You know, we've been using the power of our voice to get what we want since we came out of our mother's womb. Mm. We cried to let the world know that we needed help. We needed to eat. We just needed help. And so to connect adult humans back to that first impulse they ever had, which was to get into their body and cry and scream and say, "I'm here, world," you know. And so this is their first impulse. And so to often we bury it. You know, the voice is easily shut down. It can be shut down by your best friend when you're 17 going, "Don't sing," you know, or your mother saying, "That sounds horrible. Please take that into your room." Or your father laughing, you know, something so small can shut down something so vulnerable in all of us. And when we ask for a raise, or when we ask for more space in a relationship, or when we, you know, ask for a loaf of bread at the shop, like we feel these small inhibitions come up around this part. Yeah. And so we're now, you know, have kind of realized what we're doing is looking to reconnect back to our power and our connection.
And we didn't realize we were doing it until we realized that what a perfect example music is. And so in helping, you know, artists, we realized, wait, artists are just human beings. And so when we pointed our work out into the world with this program we created about 6 years ago called The Songwriter's Journey, we realized there were so many people wishing to play in this medium called song, called their voice. And what had been stopping them was how many narratives we've actually had globally around the singing voice. I mean, firstly, let's just start with our obsession. You know, anywhere from Sweden to the UK to Australia to America, our obsession with singing shows. So there's no question on our passion, not just for music, but for the actual singing dream. But second, how many people had put it to the wayside? How many people had been told, "No, that's not for you," right? How many people had tried for a moment and then gone, "No, I've got to get a real job.
I'm not good enough."
Not good enough. Well, what were those things? Why was the inhibitions, and why did we create such a pedestal to audience relationship to music and voice? And so as we started to offer what we do and make sure that the people we were connecting with knew this was for voices from all walks of life, this was for not just beginners, but people that were scared to even try it, but somewhere stuck inside their body was this urge to return to their singing instrument and voice out what their songs might be, even if it was just for their family, just for themselves, just for Facebook, just for their world, not the music industry. And so we just started, and we're hundreds of voices later, early in our mission to hear the world's song one voice at a time. But what we really discovered, and which what we'd really love to go into with everyone here today and you, Stephanie, is why did we become so inhibited, and why did we agree upon this kind of global narrative around the singing voice for the few rather than for everyone if they so wish?
And is there a simple way out?
Or through?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I remember some people may know because of our Facebook group that we interview. I mean, I interview you for my podcast, and you were mentioning the different type of singers. Do you mind to remind us?
I would love to
talk about it.
Well, yeah, like everything, we discovered that there was a pattern in what we were doing, and we find that. Well, drop it in the chat if you're a shower singer. Anyone like singing in the shower? Just say,
"You get in the shower."
Yes, or me.
You get in the shower, Leah. And you just can't help yourself. Okay, someone's jumping ahead.
Okay, so drop it in the chat if you are a car singer.
We've got one, Leah.
You turn it up and you sing along, as long as you drown yourself out, perhaps. Okay, safe spaces.
Okay, yeah. That's a car for sure.
So we find that perhaps, this is just a theory, but shower singers don't mind being heard by whoever's in the house, neighbors walking by, right? It's like, if you're lucky, you might hear me softly sing in the shower. But they don't want to be seen.
No.
Car singers, they do not want to be heard. The windows, the volume. But if you stop at the traffic light and I'm rocking out to a song and I'm a car singer, you can watch me, you know? And then, you know, so it's like there's a little bit of a visual stage there, and there's a oral stage in the shower singer. So you might be one or both.
Let's go into some more specialty ones. All right, so who out there is a karaoke singer? You know, now this is defined as you need to loosen up a little bit. Maybe it needs to be, you know, with some friends, with some drinks or something like that.
Julian.
And then you just suddenly break loose.
Okay, who waits until their best friend asks them to sing at their wedding? Not until then.
The wedding singer.
And they're like, oh no. And then one more, you know, one more request. Okay, fine. And then it's like 3 months I'm training. Yeah. And you get there and you knock everyone's socks off, talk of the wedding, and then someone goes, so do you do that for a living? Oh no. And you brush it off.
And the next time you sing is like 2 years later.
Who's a wedding singer?
A lot of wedding singers out there. There you go. I've got one.
Good. Well, someone please invite Stephanie to sing at their wedding. and if you're like me, because I was someone who did not think or had no dream or thought of singing until singing found me at 15. So I was an I can't singer. Anyone an I can't sing person? Drop it in the chat if you think you can't sing.
Okay.
At all. I can't sing. I have no consciousness of me singing.
How about those who only sing to children? that's probably a good one. I can't sing, possibly.
That's probably just a big voice. So the last one, and also popular as well for people that don't sing, is an I can't stop singing. I'm always singing. Drop it in the chat if you're just always humming to yourself. Our Father has no intention of singing, you know, professionally or in front of others, but he's always humming to himself. We love it.
But if you asked him to sing, he probably wouldn't.
Probably not. okay, good. Yeah, Leah's singing in her head all the time. I think, Leah, you've been all of these singers. I love it. So these are our five top singing types. Drop it in the chat if you've got any for us that we're not seeing. But, you know, even the I can't singers have a place.
Have a voice.
Have a voice, have a connection to music.
Yeah.
Have a voice that's worth hearing, that's actually good enough to hear by others. You know.
And remember that these types are what we've found ourselves sort of happening to fall into. You know, maybe we've been inhibited to be heard, but we don't mind being seen. Maybe we've been inhibited to be seen, but we don't mind being heard. Maybe we're fine if we know it's a fun environment like karaoke, or when someone really requests us to sing, so we have to say yes and we love it and we wish we could be in it more in our lives. But
and like Tara was saying, we've projected our singer onto, you know, the American Idol winners, or you know, we've also projected our inner badass or rock star onto, you know, Bono and all of the others that, you know, that carry that for us. But no. We all have a rock star badass singer inside us, you know, and it's particular to us. There's no voice, there's no badass like you, Eric, Julian, Caroline, Leah, Bryce, Freya. That's you, and no one could ever be a better version of you. They'd all be B-grade versions of you. Just like when we were on a major label and they were like, be more like Coldplay. You know, for the next few months while we were trying to study what that meant, we were a B-grade version of that.
Yeah.
So be an A-grade version of you.
And let's talk about how, you know, just want to acknowledge Caroline for saying, you know, I think a choir singer, you know, feels safe in a choir. I think that's a really, you know, we're updating characters or types all the time.
We have a number six. I'm going to write that
down.
That's
a nice one, you know, to speak about a choir singer. A lot of us ended up in the choir. A lot of us got inhibited by being in choir, by making a determination whether or not we were a singer. So it's interesting. It's an emotional environment, the choir, for some. And a lot of people join a choir because then they don't...
They can hide.
They can actually be in chorus, which is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful human tribal right to be together. However, when you know you're in the choir and to step out from that choir would be too scary... I think choir singer is a great type.
And there's a lot of judgment within the choir. You go over to bass, you're a soprano, you know, and then you're good enough to be a soloist, right? So there's this, you know, if you're a choir singer, you've experienced what it's like to be assessed in your voice and compared to others, you know, so that's an interesting one. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
So what do we do with all of this?
Yeah.
And why don't we walk around singing all the time? And we've, just like these types of singers, we've found that there are five or six, perhaps, small voices that seem to rear their heads, start screaming, kicking and screaming, throwing a tantrum every time we go towards, you know, maybe we're in a transformational self-help conference or something, and they're doing So they say, okay, I'm just going to pick someone, right? When they say that,
Who wants to share, you know?
No, but who wants to share? No one? Okay, I'm going to pick someone, right? Because who wants to share? Put up your hand. It's like, oh, well, I'm definitely not doing that. But I'm going to pick someone, right? Then it's like, okay, blood goes, the stomach feels sick.
Quick, turn off your camera.
Quick, the sweaty palms, turn off the camera. Yeah. And so it's like, what is happening there?
Yeah.
Can we unpack and understand what's happening?
Well, let's talk firstly about what we mean by small voices. I believe, Stephanie, we talked quite a bit about this, but to us, really a small voice is something that you've adopted or learnt in the wake of trauma. So it really defined would be as an automatic, negative triggered small voice, either a question or an alarm warning you to not try, not say that, not do that, not put yourself out there in that way for some specific reason. And, these small voices we all have, okay? I don't believe someone when they say they have zero. No one's ever said that to me, but I wouldn't believe it because even some people I've met that just have the most peaceful lives still admit there's a couple there that get triggered at time to time in them that they have a healthy relationship to. And so that negative automatic triggered noise, thought, feeling, sensation or emotion that is in and of itself trying to inhibit you from taking that risk. Yeah. And so we've found that there's quite a few common ones around the voice. Now, please feel free if we don't touch yours. As you come in touch with it today, as we're talking, please share it with us in the chat as well. And this is in no particular order, but we wanted to just touch them and get into a conversation on these.
Drop it in the chat if you feel us on these.
Now, remember, these voices move to try to get you not to be all of your big voice, okay?
So the first one, perhaps, and often comes up in the beginning of any creative endeavor or new thing, which is, I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. I'm not enough. Mm. I am not enough. My voice is not good enough. Drop it in the chat if you're if you've got the I'm not enoughs around your voice. Yep. Okay. Mm. Got it.
I just wanted to share very briefly that these voices can be born any time in your life. Okay. Now they are born very much in your childhood. Like a lot of trauma, first trauma happens when we don't have the maturity to handle or digest hard experiences. However, in my 20s, through the music industry, I absolutely, even though in my earlier childhood was like a special kid who was at performing arts high schools, I felt very confident that in my 20s, as our music career was kind of dynamic and we got some doors closed on us, I actually developed the I'm not good enough voice, even in the face of playing to 20,000 people.
Mm-hmm. So, and it often stems from this inner or outer comparison. You're either comparing yourself to what you used to be or what you could be, and generally comparing yourself to what others are exhibiting in themselves. Okay, second, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve this.
Mm.
Often stemming from, a feeling like you're bad, or I've done something wrong. You don't deserve this. I don't deserve the enjoyment of my voice. Anyone dropping into I don't deserve this,
or even deserve the worthiness of my power, all of my shine, all of my
worthiness is a big one to unpack. It's very painful. There's a lot of shame and grief in there, so go easy on yourself. I'm not smart enough. Sarah, okay, got it.
Definitely. That's I'm not good enough.
So number three is, and this is really the biggest one perhaps in the work that we do, is I'm unsafe. Using my voice, raising my voice, being bigger in my voice, taking up more space, having more embodied sovereignty with my voice, the power, most powerful weapon we have to enact change, will make me unsafe, physically, emotionally, mentally unsafe.
And this unsafe small voice is born in obviously the wake of trauma that was risky, that was dangerous, it wasn't okay to feel, and to us, as we'll talk more in a moment, so much of these voices are born in the wake of what was yet to be, what couldn't be felt at the time. And so unsafe is a really quick inhibitive biological marker the body does to us. And when we go to use our voice, look at what we have at our disposal at every moment. we have our receptiveness and our amplification of our voice, and we have these hands.
Yeah.
And this is with us every moment of our lives in transaction, even in the silence. So it's no question these small voices become inhibitive.
Ginny just dropped a bomb here. Not okay to feel and not okay to be me, to be.
To be.
So yeah, this is all in that realm of just like, okay, this is not okay.
Hey, thank you.
I gotta get out of my body.
You say Freya? I don't know if Freya. However you say your beautiful name. Let's talk about that. That's our next.
Freya.
This one is a very surprising one in the United States, even though we find that in the United States, even though we're from Australia, United States promotes be too much, be an entrepreneur, be this, be that, shine, there's room for everyone, and yet we find the I'm too much, I'm being too much come out a lot in this country, surprisingly. Australia, it's a kind of a cultural narrative in a way, don't be too much.
And a lot of European countries,
and possibly Europe too, UK,
where it's like tamped down. Be you know, politeness, the idea of politeness, which is very important in society to be polite, but the idea of politeness, what politeness includes in cultures that exhibit like the tall poppy syndrome, for example, where you can't be too much, you bring it in, fit in, try and be the same height, same size, same brightness as everyone around you, so as to not make them feel bad.
It's very
part of politeness. But what we must be aware of what it's doing to our voice and our
joy. Unpacking I'm too much a little bit more. It's not just cultural, colonial, okay? It's also familial. It's a family dynamic that a lot of families were like, don't be too much in this situation, okay? Like, a lot of mothers accidentally did it to their daughters in competition, or dads to their sons. It's a very common feeling. And it's also born in the wake of making others you care about jealous when you be yourself. And so it's a really complicated one because one, you suddenly get wounded there. So you dim down to fit in. And then you also grow disdain or rebellion. And so you'll find that a lot of people that suffer from the I'm too much small voice often are loud
when
they're trying to like be heard, because really they're a few moves away from their truth, because their truth is they just want to be themselves with respect to others and they never really wanted to dim down. So
yes.
I'm too much is a complicated one.
Yeah. And Belgium, the UK, everyone's kind of talking about, in the US, that we have these voices as nations too. And we've put ourselves in these nations because we're experiencing them as a voice. We are a voice, one voice in many of each of these nations. And nations tend to kind of act like each other. And how do we feel within that cohesion? So this is a great conversation. I love it. Drop it in the chat if you've got a national voice that your voice is struggling to or finding its place within, rubbing up against.
Yeah, and thank you for some of these.
And the last one, which is very, prevalent in today's society, which, the Instagram culture of, being able to, make your life look perfect, okay? And even change your face or your body so that you can perfect the skin tone and the angles and everything, all well and good. And our obsession with perfection perhaps stems from our obsession with the divine. It's all forgivable, right? But we are obsessed with the idea of perfection, of a non-physical reality, right? And so we project it onto ourselves. And it's very inhibitive when approaching our voice, because our voices, especially when we record it on our phone and then when we hear it back, it's very hard to find perfection in this three-dimensional version of ourselves, and especially in our voice. So, a lot of money is spent in the music business making those voices you hear on the radio flawless. So, to compare yourself to these is unnatural.
So we find that probably the two most clearly common voices that get in the way of someone going from trusting their voice, using it and sharing it would be I'm not good enough in the start, and it's not perfect in the completion. And so when we really unpack the creative process, you might find that even if you're not haunted daily by I'm not good enough or it's not perfect, you'll notice that built into the global village, you know, the global narrative is, if you're going to start anything, make sure it's good enough, which means, do we give ourselves the freedom to be messy and what we call dare to suck, which means anyone that's brilliant at anything gave themselves permission to try, and they certainly weren't great in the beginning. So can we get past that first doorway, that global narrative of it better be good if you try anything? And then can you actually complete it and share it and get past the it's not perfect narrative too? So these voices don't have to just be right in your mind and body. They're out in the environment, whether or not you consciously or subconsciously, unconsciously admit to them, that they are there for all of us to move through and override.
Well, let's talk about, you know, what we do when we have these small voices, because we're not trying to create yet another problem for you to focus on, okay, and obsess about. These small voices are not a problem. We all have them. You know, can we look at them like our toddlering children, you know, our screaming, tantrum throwing children that we ultimately have love and compassion for, rather than these things we want to cut out of our body, these things that have metastasized and become these crazy monster critics shutting us down? You know, we give them different faces. They shapeshift to become, you know, the faces of our old teacher or anything like that. But can we shrink them down to the size they are? They're afraid, and they're small children, often traumatized as versions of ourselves, little boys and little girls in us that are just scared. And that's okay. It makes sense. It's a scary big world. It's a scary illusory world. And so when we get focused on our relationship to it, these small voices come up, especially when raising our voice or being heard.
So what you're saying is it's not the small voices that are the problem. We all have them. It's our relationship to them. And you know, please comment in the chat if you had class next to math and science. Your relationship to your mind, body in school, you know, certainly wasn't a class of mine. And, you know, a little bit about me. When I was 11, 12, and trauma happened in my family, I started to hear an inner voice that told me to touch that 10 times so your family's safe. And my whole childhood, I had an undiagnosed case of what would be considered obsessive compulsive disorder. And as I became an adult, and I had a real adult trauma occur with a falling out with someone, it spawned on the I'm unsafe small voice to the point where my whole life was inundated with a critical case of obsessive compulsive disorder. And my whole 20s was shaped around making sure I was safe, until at 30, I almost died from my mental illness, which is a whole other story itself. The one thing I can definitely say from what awoke in me to turn it around was I began to form a new relationship to what ultimately was living inside me, which is a bunch of incredibly scared, incredibly terrified voices that had the keys to not just my mind. You know, we talk a lot about thoughts, but here in the embodiment conference, surely it's time to put right in the forefront body sensation. Because body sensation, even when I was like being, you know, in rooms with the best behavioral therapists or cognitive behavioral therapists in America, that it was so rare that people really addressed physical sensation when it comes to what we're calling small voices, which really are any noise, anxiety, thoughts, feelings, sensations, or emotions that get triggered without you having anything to do with it. But what we do have, not control on, but we have liberty to form, is a new relationship with being uncomfortable. And if you could actually know with all of your heart and body and consciousness that these small voices weren't something evil, these small voices weren't something to get you, something you had to cut out, like Isaac said, fix. If you knew that you were safe even having these, then maybe you could see them as those little girls, those little boys. How would you treat them if you became mother or father to those voices? How would you bring them under your wing?
Right, well, Sandra, thank you, Sandra, for offering that. Her inner voice says, no one wants to listen to me. Why would anyone want to hear what I have to say?
It's a beautiful,
it's painful,
small voice,
and it's a painful small voice. And can you, you know, let's name it. You know, the first step in reframing our relationship, we find number one is name it. So, you know, let's unpack. No one wants to listen to me. Okay, why would anyone want to hear what I have to say? Okay, so it sounds like there's an unworthiness to me. It sounds like it doesn't matter what I have to say. It's worth overlooking. It will never matter. That's where it feels to me, this small voice is. Sandra, does that sound like it rings?
Yeah, I don't
yes,
feel like I'm
I don't feel like I matter. Okay, so this is an unworthiness, small voice. And so the first goal, if you like, or the first practical step in reframing your relationship to this small voice in particular is to name it. To hear it. So you've heard it. You know, you typed out what it's saying. No one wants to listen to you. Listen to me. Why would anyone want to hear? So hear it out. You know, maybe there's other things she wants to say. Yeah. And we spend so much energy running in that direction.
To avoid them, right? Yeah. So Sandra, right there, it's like clearly that can't feel good. I mean, obviously tell us if you have if you enjoy that voice. I'm sure you probably don't. And so we spend a lot of time, that voice gets born out of a trauma you experienced. And then we spend a lot of time being like, oh, I can't have that voice.
You know? Or we have a lot of energy and spend a lot of time going to, you know, get degrees and big corporate jobs to prove to that small voice
that
in fact we do matter.
That you do matter.
Okay.
Right? To convince it otherwise, right?
Or we go to the psychologist or take, you know, whatever, drugs, you know, none of these things are wrong, but it's just what we do to encounter this.
What's the motivation underneath the action? Okay. So firstly, we're biologically hardwired to want it to move,
to
avoid. So we're immediately, when that I don't matter comes up in your mind and body, you're like, oh, let me get some distance. Like, ouch, you know, and, or no, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to prove this wrong. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to cut it out. I'm going to solve it. I'm going to transmute it. And yet what's the motivation underneath? Because when our motivation underneath is to get rid of, because this isn't good, we accidentally reinforce that very voice, as opposed to we have this other opportunity here. And this is what we propose today, is that what if that small voice, what if everyone's small voice here was something that you could actually hear, name, and then bring under your wing in a way of peripheral witness, that you could bring it under your wing and be like, you're going to be okay because I'm going to show you, because I'm going to do the very thing that you've been wanting me to do all along, over and over again, with ease, with grace, with passion, with anxiety. Can we have that voice go off and essentially do things anywhere we've always dreamed of doing? Even if it's clumsy, even if it's not perfect, even if it's not all the things, it's not worth. And Sandra, yours is going to say, I don't matter, I don't matter, I don't matter, I don't matter, and give you proof and chemicals to tell you otherwise. And how can you bring her under your wing as you reframe that reality regardless? And so we're going to talk about the three steps that we do en route to opening one's voice and singing from the big voice.
Well, let's do it with Sandra. So the first, you know, we've heard this one out, this small voice out. And, you know, Sandra, would you say the name of, you know, to name it, would you say that the voice, we've already heard it. And so to name it, would you say that the small voice is, I don't matter? Or would you say I'm not worthy or something else? Sandra, how would you name it?
Beautiful.
Okay. Sandra's just said she's a newborn nanny.
I feel
invisible. Okay, got it.
That's a really interesting one, because it is still part of the I'm not worthy.
Yeah.
Overlooked.
Don't matter. Yeah. So being with the invisible, you know, getting to know the invisible, like instead of, like we said, running away or trying to cut out, like, can we fully face it? And like Ginny said, own it. Not dump it, but own it.
Not to
right?
us. Yeah.
Embody it. Welcome it home. You know, can you have the compassion you would for your child? And get to know it, like Socrates said, know thyself, knowing. It's not up here, right? We're in the embodiment conference. Thousands painful. Of years ago,
it is painful.
They knew that it wasn't up here, you know?
And so what we're talking about here. Also is not this, you know, this isn't obvious, you know, and for anyone who it is, it's amazing we're in this, we're here together in this embodiment conference, you know, I hope it's beginning to be obvious in places like this. However, yeah, absorb and integrate it.
That beautiful, Julian.
When our motivation is no longer to get rid of what occurs. Now, just let that be with you for a second. If your motivation is no longer to fix yourself from these negative automatic triggers inside your mind and body, we're calling the small voices that have been born to inhibit you from risking being all of yourself. If you could be okay, you have them and actually be okay being that uncomfortable when they're triggered to the point where you can invite them home in your body and await them to relax under your wing, under your arms again. That if we could, if that was the actual pathway and not to get rid of it, what might occur for you?
Right. And like Julian's saying, like how might you integrate this invisibility? You know, also what has invisibility, this sense of your own invisibility done for you? You know, how has it made you strive for greatness in life? Without this, who would you be? You know, what can you, you know, just like we often in deep psychotherapy, we thank, we get to the place where we can thank our victimizer because we can see that without that spurring us on, making us run from here to Timbuktu and, you know, owning that, starting that company, you know, proving that we can be seen and are worth being seen, you know. So perhaps with the nannying, Sandra, you know, it's a safe place. And so it's pushed you to find your vocation, your voice in a place that you love that perhaps you wouldn't have chosen. And it's given you something so rich. So I don't know, you can only know yourself and we can only just imagine in this Zoom framework. But can you look to find the gratitude for this small voice?
Well, the gratitude can be that doorway to actually become not just friends, but like lovers with these parts of us we've been trying to get rid of, right? Like, you know, I could really say, you know, as unbelievable, sometimes we have to, with tough love, be like, hey, small voice, like, you're really annoying and it really hurts, like what you're doing inside me. However, I accept you, like I've got you. And I'm going to do this very thing you're trying to inhibit me from doing. The tough love is love. And it's not to get rid of, it's not to fix, it's not to deny anymore.
Yeah, Jacob just had a good point. You know, without all of our small voices, would we actually be here looking for embodiment? You know, looking for something, some sense of satisfaction, peace, you know, whatever we're here for. Let's drop it in the chat what we're here for.
Why don't we? That's nice. Yeah.
Drop it in there because that will give us a sense of, you know, perhaps our small voice, because it's probably the medicine, the anecdote.
Yeah, we are looking for the gift in the wound.
A reminder, right? Yeah.
Yeah. In the meantime, just to be sure that you can explain what you offer, because we have like 15 minutes-ish.
Yeah, of course.
Why people are just like writing down. Would you have time to explain a little bit what you offer to the participants? Yeah?
Thank you. Yeah. So, wow, we're so interested to see what
wisdom,
everyone's saying.
Letting go of the inhibition, speaking up. Yes,
yeah.
I hear you.
Gorgeous. Step into the world.
Well, can we, before we talk about what we do and everything, can we just do like a 5 minute
absolutely.
Heart audition? Because we want you to have a small practice in this moment.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Around this, especially. So
the big voice.
Yeah, so in our work, like we said, we use voice and singing and music is our medium to be in journey with yourself and to finally give voice to that incredible creative and expressive instrument you've been gifted this lifetime. And a lot of people that work with us aren't going to be singers and release big songs in the world. They're going to release their songs in the world, or they might. And there's been plenty of accolades from very surprising people charting. So with all of that being said, what we've discovered is if someone just falls back in love, fascinatingly, curiously in love with the foundational parts that make them them, and they form a new relationship to the small voices, that something miraculous occurs, like nature always intended. So we just want to touch that and walk through the small voices. So one of our pillars is that you are, or you have, this distinct whole body instrument to be in this lifetime. And so from wherever you are in the world, if you just join us, if you wish, we truly believe the gateway to the greatest voice of your life is when you give up performance. You forego how you look or how it sounds, and you choose to prioritize what it feels like. Now that means when you feel fear, you allow yourself to, in this moment, as an opportunity or as in a game, that you can allow yourself to feel the very things that were too uncomfortable now. So in this moment, can you close your eyes very briefly? And we just want you to invite yourself home in this instrument you've been gifted. And the instrument we are talking about is this body that accreted together in your mother, that became yours, the umbilical cord was cut. And this instrument that you've been gifted that needed so much nurturing and care, eventually after years and years, whether or not you suffered trauma or not, you survived and you have this opportunity to thrive. You became your own planet that didn't need your parents' orbit anymore, and you became your own. Maybe you've built your own solar system of family, that you were designed to be a planet, but you were also designed to be an instrument. And nature actually gifted you this exact amalgamation of ancient stardust, or this actual material that accreted together, that gave you two strings, bone, cartilage, space, and skin, and gave you the gift of the engine of breath and the ability to sound out what it feels like to be you and alive. That you were designed to be amplifier and reception. That even when you listen your ass off, or your body off, or when you receive someone, you are radically singing if you allow yourself truly to be home in the experience of it. So as your eyes are closed, if you wish, you can add eyes back to your experience. Our invitation is, can you experience what is already and automatically occurring? And from here, what does it feel like to inhale? Not what does it look like or how should I inhale, but what does it feel like? And what's it feel like to exhale out of your mouth, hissing in the back of the throat, slowing that breath down? And instead of getting it right, what does it feel like when you taste your exhale? And inhale, what's it feel like when you allow yourself to fill up? And exhaling again. And last time, and this time, we're just gonna allow our voices to engage. And our invitation is, how does it feel? Who cares how it sounds? Inhale. No. Of that, your awareness, bringing all of your consciousness to what it feels like to moving it around any way you wish. How does it feel to taste what does it conjure in you? What experience What is the first feeling wanting to come up in your body that maybe you haven't given voice to? Is it pain? Can you allow yourself to feel whatever it is that wants to come next in this safe space, in this environment, in this moment? What's it feel like to give voice to your lips of whatever that is that needs to come forth now? Is it bliss? Is it peace? Is it joy? Is it fear? Can we not discriminate the color? Can we not discriminate the feeling? Can we allow the feeling to arise and be felt? So as you're allowing yourself to do that, notice the small voices. And this is that perfect moment where we're asking you to love them, to not focus on them, but to go, there you are, I hear you, I've named you, and I'm going to do this anyway. I'm going to feel my voice come out of my mouth. I'm going to say that thing. I'm going to sing that song. I'm going to do that action regardless.
Thank you. And Stephanie, you asked us to kind of tell people how they can get more of this work and tools and training and be in touch with us. You know, like Torad said, our mission, our crazy mission, is to hear the world's song one voice at a time. So you reaching out about your voice is helping us see to our own satisfaction. So when the I don't matter, they don't want me to reach out, that whatever happens, you know, just remember my face.
And we actually do invite all of you, any of you that are called to work with us in this medium, whether or not you've been, you know, wanting to be this recording artist in your life, or if you've always wanted to step into your voice and sing, or if you're totally scared, know that you won't follow it more than a program with us. We invite all of you. We really mean that. And we have multiple ways we work.
Prior experience or no, like Tarot said, no kind of ambitions to be a singer are needed whatsoever. So how do they, how does everyone reach out?
So Brothers Koren, and we can put it in the chat as well. Brotherskoren.com, K-O-R-E-N /connect to reach us directly. And you are actually reaching us directly. It's /. And so there's really, over the 6 years we've done what we do.
Thanks.
And our company's called Your Big Voice. And we have different ways we work with people from all around the world. And really it's based on the songwriter's journey as our flagship program. However, we've got many ways we work with people depending on where they're at in their life. And the best way to reach us is that, and we could share with you all about that. Every single human being on this call that's called to be voiced deserves that. That not only do you deserve it, but quite possibly it might be our responsibility to form new relationships to our inhibitions and to become as best we can today our radical voice that needs to be heard. That if we really go past one day at a time and step into the richness, the empowerment and the connection, the sovereignty, like Isaac said, that is here awaiting us all, we might just become that key that's required. And that each of us stepping into our truth and home into our body instruments will create an entirely different planet.
And we, our intention is to create a safe place for you to encounter, you know, your small voices and naturally your big voice. And to perhaps share that with the world.
Yeah, thank you, Isaac and Sarah. So for everyone, you have any question, we have a few minutes. So if you want to type it in the Q&A and then I can ask the question. I have one because I've seen it in the chat and I've been doing a session previously on the Curse of the Helper, and it has been around voice. So I can ask you because I know some participant would love to know. Can you help people who usually say that people don't hear me, but literally don't hear me. When I try to speak in a crowd, people don't hear me.
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing I want to say is someone who doesn't feel like they could be heard, so to speak. It's in so many ways, it's two things at once often. It's one, they haven't discovered the experience of being home in their instrument in a way that is so powerfully themselves that people stop and listen. And two, they often end up in a story because of their small voices that they won't be heard. So we often approach, when we go to speak from, I'm not going to be heard anyway, we approach it in, dare I say, an unembodied or a disassociated way. So we actually go to speak as a version, not really of ourselves, but as the person that won't be heard. And so other animals around us, other human animals, sense this and have a hard time hearing because we actually don't respond to someone who's not embodied.
They're hearing our small voice.
They're hearing that, exactly.
Who we are.
So actually it's for whoever that is, I mean, we'd be honored to work with you on it. The truth is when you come home to the body and go beyond that voice, small voice, that something usually miraculous occurs. People stop and people start listening.
Thank you. Actually, there's someone in the Q&A, Douglas, who say, what are some embodied practices to work on making my throat energy bigger, stronger, more confident?
I got one.
Yeah.
I got one. So you can't see my belly right now, but I it's an acting or singing, you know, breathing, which, you know, you've got to imagine you've got a bagpipe or a balloon and you're sucking into this bagpipe and it's going to be extending like this. But you're keeping your shoulders and your chest really relaxed, okay? So, see that? It's like everyone becoming pregnant, or Toro calls it fat and happy, okay? And then doing that hissing in the back of your throat. So now that you're breathing in like your bagpipe, that's the power center. I want you to point over the side of the room and go, breathe in and go, hey! Like someone just stole someone's bag and you're watching someone run down the street with this bag. You would either freeze or you would go, hey, right? Find that power center so that something, you know, something comes over and you actually can get into your power. It's right there waiting for you.
And another one that you used to do before we'd start, you know, when we're opening for Pink, we got to tour the world opening for Pink. And I would always know it was almost showtime because Isaac would be backstage doing this Breath of Fire, which really is a, you know, obviously it's a yoga practice. However, it is an incredible singing practice that you just, instead of focusing on inhaling, you just exhale. How long can you go for? You could do it to a you could do it just an open mouth. Because what we're really, what is really kind of counterintuitive is the, in order to open here, we must stop focusing on here. Or so many people over the years, you know, 20 plus years of being a voice coach have come to me and said, there's something wrong here. I need to fix here. This needs to be opened. It's blocked. I honestly could say that of all those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of voices, maybe two had injuries and the rest actually were just in the emotional or mental way of the opening there. So often getting into the engine space, the belly, is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. There's another question from Beatrice. How do you embody I don't know enough to be teaching this?
Yeah. Well, that's often like I'm a fraud, you know, like I might be a fraud, you know, I might not be good enough. It's kind of a combo.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because for us, we didn't set out to do this. This happened as a request, as a response to a request of a fan who was 17. And she said, would you ever consider working with a new singer? And we said, interesting. Because we had just had this download of what it might look like for us to get satisfaction, to get, be able to get to know people enough to justify the sacred act of writing a song together. And here was our first request. So we followed that through. She went on to win the John Legend songwriting competition. Suddenly all of our friends wanted to work with us. And we just haven't really stopped since. And, you know, we've done some advertising of our online courses and stuff like that, but we don't advertise. It's all word of mouth. And so we're not doing it to prove to ourselves that we can. And sure, we could have letters after our name, and we would like to find the time to go back to school. That sounds like a lot of fun. but yeah, we don't have that voice. We have the it's unknown voice, and that's the one that comes up for me. What I notice is if I'm doing something new that I've never done before, there's this vague anxiety or reluctance that I find in myself that doesn't quite show itself in particular ways other than just this kind of odd and then we'll kind of look at it and go, oh, you're doing something you've never done before.
It's unknown voice in you that triggers your I'm not good enough when you're a kid. But to answer the person around what do you do around that voice, you do exactly the same thing. Because the imposter syndrome voice, like someone just wrote, Carrie. You know, honestly, it's the same thing that I'm a fraud. It's a sub voice of I'm not good enough or something, but we treat them all the same. You know, remember we shared the top five or six that come up around the voice that we've seen over hundreds of voices. That doesn't mean people don't have many, many, many voices here. And like Isaac said, we're biologically hardwired to have our small voices go off when we're approaching something we've never done. So when we step toward our great passion, right? Maybe we're starting this new business in our life around something we actually love. Of course, it's new, it's unknown, it's risky, it's vulnerable, it's powerful, it's scary. All of your small voices will go off. If you're going to expect anything, expect them to go off. And the I'm a fraud voice needs to be treated the same. Can you hear it? Can you name it? Can you bring it under your wing? And can you do the very thing you were going to do next? And can you love it and actually expect it, that it went off right then, because you're onto something. You're onto something great. Can we allow these small voices to be indicators that we're onto something great?
Stephen just dropped a powerful thing in the chat. He's working with suicide intervention, and you know, the I don't matter. That my life doesn't matter. That my life has no intrinsic value, and therefore, I'm better off to end it, or I'm just done with the suffering. And so, you know, yes, Stephen, it's. I think that, you know, when the system is captured, when the whole nervous system is taken over by one or more of these small voices ganging up on the human, the host, you know, so to speak, then
it's beautiful. You know, yeah, Stephen, write to us. Write to us at Brothers Corinne. I want to hear more about your work.
If you can, you wish. I think we have time for one more question, as we have 2 minutes left. So something really practical. Rebecca would say, I often need to be softer, quieter, or use an upstairs bedtime voice. Any top tips, please?
Wow. So what I feel like you said, Stephanie, is that the upstairs quiet voice is one that you've been taught. You know, think about where it came from. Who was the first person that told you that? Remember, and we didn't talk much about this, but small voices that live inside you were either voices that you created in the wake of a trauma about yourself, or that you directly adopted from people in your life that triggered you, or, you know, like a mother, a father, a best friend, a brother, you know, a falling out with a lover, a past marriage, that often what we discovered is that these small voices sometimes are actually other people and what they told us that hurt. And we either rebel against it or believe it. But nonetheless, they're still small voices. So you might find that this small voice of, you know, use your, you know, don't bother, you know, don't be too much, that it's the exact same thing. Whether or not it was adopted because your mother told you that and her mother told her that, or that, you know, these voices cross generations. You know, they become like little mini things we catch. And we need to treat them exactly the same, with compassion, tough love, and override. And it might be time to use your rich voice and cause yourself to become uncomfortable. Watch what happens when you actually be all of your voice in the wake of being told to use your upstairs voice or your quiet bedtime voice.
Todd and I he has a 5-year-old girl and I have a 6-year-old boy. And we'll see. We'll report back in 15 years what happens when children are fully let to use their big voice. But it's all a beautiful experiment, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Isaac and Thorold, for your time.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Carrie's putting all the information where to find you. So I understand that if people would, write on your contact website and your contact, then you get your message. So they will get to know. Anything you would like to add as we have 30 seconds?
Yeah.
We can't wait to hear from you all.
Yeah.
And your voice truly does matter, no matter what you're going to do with it. You know, get to know it and share it.
And don't wait for perfection. You know, open your mouth, trust. When you're home in your body, you know, we have a way of, you know, if we could just be home in our body and trust that next beautiful feeling to follow, open your mouth, see what occurs in your life.
You're always already enough.
Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you very much to you too. And again, you know, as you know, you still have 48 hours to watch the replay of this session. Afterwards, if you want to watch again Brothers Cohen, we also had Alanis Morissette in our channel with Richard Schwartz. So if you want to watch anyone, Alanis Morissette, Richard Schwartz, the whole session, the whole channel on leadership or the whole conference, you can still upgrade until tonight, I think, to get a special price for the conference. And again, it's been a pleasure to see you too again. And
thank you
so much. See you soon.
Thank you to everyone.
Thank you.